The scripture reading, Luke chapter 1, verses 36 through 56. Let us begin. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. May God bless the reading of his word and the explanation that follows. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the gift Mary was promised was given out of love, God's love. It was a gift that met the greatest need of her life, and it was a gift whose effect would last forever. And that gift, as we have already seen, was Jesus, or Joshua. God is salvation. Now we will look at the proof that Mary would get the gift. And second, we will look at the poem that Mary penned in expectation, or we should say in confident expectation of the gift. And our headings are the proof of the gift, and second, a poem about the gift. Our goals are that having seen the evidences, or the evidence in Scripture, that you will have faith to receive the gift God offers to you, and that you will continually praise him for his eternal life. That you will have the faith to receive what you read in the Scriptures, and then the response that you praise him, even as we have outlined in our text. First, the proof of the gift, the proof that Mary would get the gift that God had promised her. Now Mary and Joseph believed the angel that they would have a son and who would save his people from their sins. But the Lord didn't just leave them with that testimony from the angels. He wanted to strengthen their faith by confirming what he would do through them. See how good God is? He doesn't leave us with just one witness. He wants to really strengthen our faith, and that's why we read the Scriptures often. So he provided this confirmation, this proof of this gift, and you will see how he did it in a number of ways. The first proof, The first proof is that Mary would find her barren old relative Elizabeth, probably an aunt, we don't know for sure, probably not a cousin as some translations use, that she would be miraculously 6 months pregnant. More than that, she would have a son. All her life, Elizabeth tried to have children because it was seen as a curse from God to not have children. But she couldn't have any until God worked a miracle in her. Does this remind you of Old Testament Sarah, for example? Surely Elizabeth was known as the barren one, and that's how you identify people by some characteristic in their life. Oh, that's the barren Elizabeth over there. That's the one whose wife has had no children from God. So the fact that she was having a child was proof that nothing was impossible with God. This proof would remind Mary and Joseph that having a child without living together was not impossible with God. God could work and the Holy Spirit would overshadow her, picturing the marriage and union in marriage, and would make a child from the body of Mary, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear how Job expressed this in his confidence in God. Job 42, verse 2. Together, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. What a confidence. That's when you know someone. If you talk to me and you ask me to do something to fix your car, you have to come with a lot of doubts. Because I may know a few things, but most things I have no idea. But when you can say this about someone, no purpose of yours can be withheld. Do you see that confidence? And that's what the angel is telling Mary and Joseph. Nothing, or Mary in this case, nothing is impossible with God. When you know who your God is, it takes away doubt. Mary's response to the angel was very simple when she got that reminder, that encouragement, the proof that her old relative was pregnant. Immediately you see her faith being strengthened. What's her response? Let it be according to your word. I trust the Lord, and may your word be proven true. This shows again Mary's faith. She was a sinner, but she had faith in Jehovah. No doubt she understood the Old Testament scriptures and the Old Testament prophets. No doubt she understood the prophet quoting John the Baptist, that one who would come crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. You see what knowing your Bible does? See, one of the reasons we work on memorizing the Bible passages, when those things come back to mind, your faith comes alive. It works as a strengthening of your faith. Then Mary excitedly rose up and went to see her old relative Elizabeth in the hill country of Judah. Now, I know some of this for young people seemed like bizarre. You didn't know she was pregnant. She was 6 months pregnant. That's because everything you have today has been texted in about a nanosecond from the time it happens, or it's on Facebook. Remember, there's nothing like that at this time, so word never spread. So she goes to see. She's all excited. She's traveling to go to see her. And because she was not particularly rich, you think there's no horses or donkeys to pull her, to carry her. This is a journey. But she's excited to see her relative. And surely she wanted to help her pregnant relative as well. And we know that because she stayed there for 3 months until John was born. And it is common knowledge that pregnancy can be more debilitating for older women. It's more of a challenge. The older you are, the harder pregnancy is. Let alone a very old woman. Bones and muscles don't always cooperate as you get older. You know that for those of you who have touched 40 and looking on beyond, you can't do some of the things you used to do. try pulling yourself up. When you're younger, you grab on a bar and you could do chin-ups and no problem. And then suddenly you try to do that and your arms say you're not going anywhere. I imagine an older woman. She's pregnant now. This is all new. This is all... Think of the discomfort. So she went to see and to help her older relative. But now the picture opens up. We see more of the proof now. Not simply the fact that their older relative would be pregnant. There's something else that happens. As soon as Mary entered the room and greeted Elizabeth, the Bible says the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. This was not the regular movement of a baby that might respond to a mother's voice or a father's voice. This baby had never heard Mary's voice before. And he didn't make a gentle turn or a movement or a little kick. The Bible uses a strong language of leap, skip, some great action. And how do you leap? No one leaps backwards. He leaps forwards. And it's a picture here of he's leaping to come to the Lord. He's leaping to come to Jesus, who was just placed or formed in the womb of his mother. He was the tiniest thing. And yet John leaps forward to him, running to the Savior almost. This was a miracle from God. And imagine how this would have strengthened Mary's faith, because Elizabeth recounts this. When I heard the voice in my ear, the baby started running towards you, jumping forward. Imagine Mary, wow, that's what the angel talked about, that there's something special that God was using me to do. The third proof, Elizabeth was empowered by the Holy Spirit to prophesy things that only Mary would have known. And so much for those who say the Holy Spirit is a New Testament gift that only came after Pentecost. They really confuse the special gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are temporary, with the ever-present gift of the Holy Spirit. No one can be saved without the Holy Spirit working. No one has ever been saved without the Holy Spirit. So her having the Holy Spirit and speaking from the Holy Spirit is not strange. David talked about it, Psalm 51. He says, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." The Holy Spirit has always been living, active, breathing. The Holy Spirit was active at creation. The Holy Spirit was upon hovering over the waters. Psalm 104, I believe, talks about the Holy Spirit as the one that was creating at the beginning of the world. So he's always been active in the lives of people. And he was active in the life of Elizabeth. So he prophesied things that only Mary would know. What did he say that really convinced her to prove that the gift would come? Well, Elizabeth assured Mary, first of all, that she was blessed by God. She hadn't seen him in a long time. Who knows when was the last time she might have seen Mary, but she says, "Blessed are you among women." She comes in the door. "Blessed are you among women." This was the same language used by Deborah to describe Jael when she killed Sisera and brought freedom to Israel. And this is what Jesus would do. And no wonder she's described in the same way. "Blessed are you. You will be the means by which the world will be saved. The Lord will work a child through you who will come and redeem the world." Second, Elizabeth assured Mary that her child was blessed by God. Not only would she be blessed, not only was she blessed, but her child would be blessed by God. How did she know Mary was pregnant? She marched into the house. Elizabeth starts to speak. You can't imagine her going to an older woman and say, "Okay, old lady, let me talk. I got some really good news." No, that would have been disrespectful. That would have been unfathomable in Eastern culture. She comes in, Elizabeth starts to speak and starts to say, "You are blessed, your child is blessed." God revealed this to her. But there's a little symbolism here that you can miss. When Mary received God's word, when she believed the angel, that's when the Holy Spirit worked in her and formed Jesus' body in her. And the same thing is true for you. You see, when you receive God's word, that's when the God works in you, and He works new life within you as well. Now, picking up, Elizabeth assured Mary that she was undeserving of Mary coming into her house. This had to be from God, as this statement would not normally have been made by an older woman to a younger. It was usually the other way around. You've honored me, you've come into my house, dear aunt. In this case, the aunt is saying, I'm honored. Most people going to their aunt's house is usually for company, or to get something, or get some advice, or try to find out what some precious artifact that you want from them. You usually look for something. And in this case, he said, no, I'm honored that you would come here. Imagine Mary again thinking, oh, wow, what Gabriel said surely must have been the truth. See, Mary didn't have honor without Christ. That's when she was useful. And so for you too. You know Jesus, you have. That's what gives you value. Remember speaking yesterday and got some comments about that after, when I looked at the bride and groom and says, hey, Samuel, you're not special. Susan, you're not special. It's Christ who's special. He gives us value. He's the one who adds value. Just by ourselves, we're useless. And same thing, just as Mary became valuable to the kingdom, so we too, when you have Jesus in Christ, in you. You see, you are nothing without Jesus. Your big job that you might have means nothing without Jesus. In the grand scheme of things, it means nothing, because it can't save you. The best job you might have, you might have a skill that you and nobody else in this world has, it means nothing to Jesus. He alone gives value to your life. He is simply pleased to use you with the skill that He's given to you. So it's very important not to have an elevated view of yourself, an ego, but a humility that the Lord is pleased to use you. Then, furthermore, Elizabeth assured Mary that Mary's faith was real. She knew Mary's heart. Look at the things. She knew Mary was blessed by God. She knew Mary's child was blessed by God. She knew that Mary was pregnant in the first place. She honored Mary and says, I am privileged that you would come into my house and honor me this way. And then she says, you've got faith, Mary. I know what's in your heart. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Why this is interesting is because Elizabeth had a husband. Name was Zechariah. Remember what happened to Zechariah? When the angel talked to him, he doubted. Are you kidding me? My wife's old. I'm old. We're not going to have any children. And he was struck with being a mute. Couldn't speak until his child was born. What was the response with Mary? She had remarkable faith. The priest didn't have faith like he should have, but Mary did. Age didn't matter, and that's a reminder too. Sometimes you think, oh, they're older people, they must be smarter or better. No, faith matters. Godliness matters. Love matters. Don't be fooled by it. There might be older people who are not as wise. Faith matters. And then Elizabeth assured Mary that the prophecy would come true. How did she know Mary received this special prophecy? Especially considering that there were not many prophets around this time in Israel, except that God had revealed it to Elizabeth again. And this was further proof. This was like proof in Mary's pocket. She could be 100% sure that God would honor what He said. how this would have lifted up Mary's heart. What courage she could now have, being an unwed mother and everything else she had to deal with, to hear the angel speak to her, to hear this lady whom she saw as a respectable lady, to see all these prophecies come true in the pregnancy of Elizabeth and all the details of what Elizabeth said about her. She could go, I know now. I know that that has even strengthened my faith even more, that what the Lord says will happen. So, let's move to the second point. What's her response? For most people, they would start off with, man, I am special. I got to tell everybody how good I am, how blessed I am, how wonderful I am. Let's see what Mary does. From verse 46, Mary starts, my soul magnifies the Lord. Mary wrote a poem about the child, the gift to the world that would come from her. And a poem is a beautiful way of speaking. A poem shows a thought process regarding the thing about which you're speaking. One could easily say, you are good. But if one describes the details of your goodness, maybe they describe the beauty of the words you speak or the actions and how you show your goodness, that statement, you are good, takes on a whole new meaning. It's said in a richer and fuller and more beautiful way. And so it is here. And also in this poem, you will notice the scriptures. Mary had a rich knowledge and memory of scripture. She was not simply honored for being a virgin, as you already heard today. And let me challenge you in this right off. Are you able to articulate the work of Jesus Christ if someone asked you? Can you say how he was promised in the Old Testament and how the promises are fulfilled in the New Testament and show people what they should do with those promises? Do you know your Bible? Do you know the scriptures? That's an important question to ask yourself. But let's look at what she said. Mary had made a concerted effort to not boast about herself in this poem. Instead, as her faith increased in the promises of God, she praised God. Mary had a new heart and she loved the one who did the transplant. Mary had a new heart and she loved the one who did the transplant. I made it up myself this week. Remember that one. That's a good one to remember. And she wasn't going to take credit for what God did. No one does a heart transplant on himself.